But let's hope they go public instead of private.
Okay, Whiskers. I don't know if you're gonna hear him. I left the door
Okay,
open.
good. We are public and we are set to go. So I will go ahead and post that we are live.
We are
Ladies
live.
and gentlemen, welcome to Suds in the Squared Circle, Suds News. My name is Vinny. This is Christy. And we are here to talk about all things General Hospital. However, before we get to that, we did lose another member of the soap world this week. Bill Hayes from Days of Our Lives, who played Doug, has passed away at the age of 98. So a long, long life. But I mean, the last time we saw him on Days, which he still has scenes coming up, his last scenes that he filmed were in November. So he will be on later in the year. But the last time we actually saw him, I believe, was the scene with Dick Van Dyke, where he was in the wheelchair and he was watching.
Wow.
His
That's quite amazing that he was working up until very
basically up
probably
until his death.
close-ish to the time of his death. So yeah, it's wow.
Exactly.
That's
Welcome, David.
amazing. I hope I can do that when I'm 98. I can still be doing stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you all for coming in and joining us. The waiting room has now transitioned into the mothership, into the show itself. And we are live. We
Yes.
lost two people this week from Soap World. The one of them, to be honest with you, I never knew. I believe his first name was Alec, if I'm not mistaken. He played on All My Children. Alec was a Musser.
I don't know. Yeah, see, I'm not familiar either because I didn't really watch All My Children. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces, and I actually own a Erica Kane book because in my college years there was this used bookstore that I would go to in North Carolina, and I saw Erica Kane Does It All, I think it's called,
Oh,
and
really?
I was like, I gotta have this. This looks like
Oh,
great, great reading material. So that's about as much as my All My Children history reaches, and I know a little bit from when they brought it back digitally, you know.
yep.
And of course, Robert Scott Wilson has a very infamous steamy scene on that. That's all I'll say about
Yeah, exactly. But we did lose. We did. Who's that? Oh, that was July 14th. So that's older. Okay. But yeah, we did. We lost two. And on top of that, we did. General Hospital did pay respects to Bobby Spencer, as well. Just a heart-wrenching week in general for the soap world, let alone General Hospital and General Hospital fans. So again, I do want to let everybody know that we are, as always, we are live. Go ahead and click the like button, subscribe, get notified. If you're listening on the podcast feed, go ahead and give us that 5-star review. And as I did let everybody know, yeah, Alec Musser from All My Children, he was like Tyler Christopher, only 50. Yeah, we did lose two soap actors this week. And I as I let everybody know and announced late last week, we are now an affiliate for WWEshop.com. So go ahead and go to sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestling merch. That does have the affiliate code in there for us, and you will go ahead and help support our podcast. So we do earn a commission on it, and figure that's a good place to start. I am working on trying to get other promotions, sponsors, and affiliations out there, but the first one is done, and that's for WWEshop.com. So definitely go ahead and buy a merch, just like this awesome Cody Rhodes shirt. Okay, other thing, I do want to, before we even get into the soap news, I do want to go ahead and promote Creations by Riz. Riss, from Connecticut, Hamden, Connecticut, creations by Riss, R-I-S-S, at gmail.com. She does do a lot of stuff, and she made me this awesome Tumblr. If my background cooperates with me, there we go. It does have our logo on it. So go ahead and reach out to her. Creations by Riss, R-I-S-S. And she does do really good work. And we're going to be able to get more tumblers that way. And again, our merchandise as well. Suds, you can go to sudsandsquarecircle.com and click on shop. That'll bring you to sudsandsquarecircle.threadless.com. Okay, now that all the plugs are out of the way, Christy, how was your week this week?
Not gonna lie, it's been a little rough. You know, before I came on here, I kind of told you some of my struggles. So just physically and mentally, you know, I'm getting over being sick. And when I'm sick and I'm in bed most of the time, like it's hard for me to get back into routine. So it's been a little bit of a struggle, but I'll get there. I just have to kind of force myself to get out of bed and do what I gotta do. It's just hard sometimes. If you struggle with mental illness, you know what I'm talking about.
You are absolutely correct. And just to kind of correct myself, thank you, David. Bill Hayes was on the Christmas episode, and he still has some episodes left again. So our hearts go out to his family, friends, and fans. But let's kind of get into what we're here to talk about, and that is the loss of Bobby Spencer. I have to tell you, this week was heart-wrenching. It brought a tear to my eye. But you know, I have to say the story they wrote for it was absolutely phenomenal. I really enjoyed it. I actually like when they make people out to be heroes rather than, you know, shady stuff going on. I like that, you know, with when Epiphany passed away, or when they made Epiphany pass away, she died helping somebody in a car accident. And then Bobby, she died, natural causes, died in her sleep, but she was helping women of being trafficked, for victims of human trafficking. And that to me, now, I didn't watch General Hospital back in the, you know, 70s, 80s, when she first originally came on, and was that, you know, her backstory of being a prostitute and everything. So I don't know. I know the full backstory, but I never really witnessed it myself. But that just seems to me really in her character to help mm-hmm. the young women.
Oh, yeah. I was very happy with that. It was kind of I don't know if you would word it, say it was easier to watch this week because knowing the way they honored Bobby. But it was a very nice way to honor Bobby, aka Jacqueline Zeman, through this storyline that they gave of her helping women through human trafficking. And I kind of liked seeing Carly jump into action with Felicia and going all the way to like literally within 24 hours of the same day, I think, as the funeral or the celebration of life service, and just like going and saying, no, I'm just going to go and I'm going to finish what my mom started. And I just love that. So I was really pleased with the storyline and how it played out. And I was pleased with, they did show some flashbacks later in the week that I thought they might show in the beginning. So I loved all the flashbacks. And then of course, ending with Kelly's now being Bobby's. So I'm very, very happy with that.
I am too. I have to tell you, you know, it's like, watching soap operas, you tend to, you know, suspend disbelief. And of course, when you get to Wednesday's episode and Carly and Felicia start the episode in Port Charles, go to Amsterdam, then to Ontario, Canada, and then back to Port Charles in the same episode, while all the time while Maxie is meeting with the reporter Angela at now Bobby's, it's, I don't know. I had a laugh because, you know, you have to suspend disbelief, but at the same time, it's like, how fast are the jets they're taking to go all the way to Amsterdam and back? And yeah, that was fun.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't Google it, but New York to Amsterdam, like how long is that flight usually? So unless they're doing like a private jet situation, I don't know if they got there that fast up and back. But yeah, like you said, you suspend disbelief. You're like, whatever. Poor Charles' time is just wonky, you know, like it's soap operas. Like you just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. They magically got back there in that amount of time.
But it's funny because it's like, when you look at the car scene between Carly and Felicia, they're talking, and you know, Carly brings up, you know, it's funny that I've never, you know, spent time with my mother's best friend, and before that, she said, I've never done so much traveling in 48 hours. Well, looking at the episode, like, okay, 48 hour time frame. So the night of the night of the service, they leave for Amsterdam. They're back by the next night because Maxie's still meeting with the reporter Angela at Kelly's, and then Lucas leaves the next day, and it was just so funny. So I mean, of course they're playing with time, and you know, it was a feel-good story no matter what. So I'm not gonna bug them too much about logic and logistics. But I just thought that was quite funny. But
I did just Google it, just FYI. It says if you're going from JFK to like the Netherlands, for example, it's 8 hours and 30 minutes. And I think Netherlands is pretty much right next to that's where Amsterdam is.
Right.
So it's, you know, to do all that. And it seemed like they were waiting at that cafe for like a few hours for their contact to show up too.
Right, yeah.
So factoring in all that, plus travel time and getting a rental car, whatever the heck they had to do to get to that cafe, it's a little far-fetched, yes.
It's almost like the, it's funny because you bring, thinking about time-wise, okay, so they did, you know, the time zone change and everything, and I remember where one point Hulk Hogan in an interview said that during the 80s at one point, you know, because of going back and forth to Japan, he wrestled 400 days in a year, which is obviously impossible because even if you cross over the international date line, coming back, you're still going to change a day. So, I mean, you know, it was obviously a gross overestimate, but it's just funny when you think of how they play with time.
It's the same thing with Greenland. They got you know, to and from Greenland pretty fast too. So it's just a general hospital thing. It's just,
and they went by boat to Greenland, so it wasn't even by plane. So yeah, all right. So, but you know what? The way they handled it, it was great. You know, the beginning of the week, the beginning of, I think it was like Tuesday or Wednesday's episode, when Carly is at you know, the diner at Kelly's, and Elizabeth comes in and they're talking, and I felt like that was a great moment, like how Elizabeth fixed the sink and showed Carly the how the sink is wonky and how to fix it, and the fact that she worked there, so she knew how to, you know, get it to work. And then Carly broke down and she's like, you know, it's something small, but I forgot you worked here.
Yeah. I love that. I love that they had that scene. Mm-hmm. I always get so excited when Laura Wright and Rebecca Herbst have scenes because they are just two amazing actresses, and to have them in the same scene, which is kind of a rare thing. Like they usually, General Hospital will usually have them have scenes when an emotional or traumatic event takes place, and then they get those two in a room together and they have their scenes, and they're amazing. Like I thoroughly enjoy them. I honestly think Carly and Liz could be friends. I know not everyone agrees with me. That's okay, because I know they have their share of like history where you're like, how is that even possible? But I feel like they could put the past behind them and they could be friends.
And or frenemies. Even if it's not necessarily friendship, they have a healthy respect for each other.
Yes.
you know.
I would hope that they would share more scenes together, just because I think Elizabeth could show her more things around Bobby's, you know, and be like, hey, so watch out for this sink. Watch out for this too. This doesn't quite work right either. You got to do it this way. Or maybe this lock is a little funky and you got to, you know, jiggle it or something, you know, like the little things like that, I think is great. And I love that Elizabeth was able to share her memories, you know, of Bobby with Carly, and they can have some common ground there, because, you know, they can't argue. They're not going to argue over Bobby. So it's great.
Yeah. And I completely agree with you. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be good, fun going forward with Carly and Liz, and see if they do necessarily build that friendship. Of course, Joss and Cam dated for a while, and, you know, it's like, you know, now with Jason coming back into the fold, we'll see how that plays out and that dynamic works itself out. But all right, so I have to ask you, when you first saw the reporter at the church, now obviously the spoilers were out that Brian Hertford, I think that's how you pronounce her name, was coming back, who originally had portrayed BJ when she was younger. She was the actress that had originated the BJ character. Mm-hmm. So she was coming back to have a role in the story. When you saw her as the reporter, what was your initial reaction? What did you think when somebody's coming to a funeral service and there's a reporter there? What's your first instinct?
A little sus, a little out of the blue, like, what? Why is a reporter at Bobby's funeral? Like, I don't know, but she was so kind that I just really didn't think anything of it, because she didn't seem like she had malicious intent or anything. She didn't seem like she was a master manipulator behind the scenes and had any ill intention behind being there. So I just kind of went with it. And then, of course, when we had the reveal by the end of the week of, like, she was just like an angel.
Yeah.
She was BJ, right? She's just BJ. So I was just like, huh, that's nice. That was just kind of a nice addition to, like, and I think she was just kind of used as like a catalyst for everyone to like talk about their feelings about Bobby and their memories of Bobby. And so that was really nice. I liked it. And Felicia was right when she was like, you have such kind eyes. I'm like, she does. He has like some really kind eyes. Like, you could, that was a really great compliment, because that was so true.
And
so.
She actually physically looks a lot like Jacqueline Zeman, which is crazy. That was great casting, obviously, on their part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're always really good with the casting on GH.
So. You know, and it's like when I saw the kind of like the reveal when, you know, she calls to Lucas and say, you know, you're welcome, champ, or something to that.
Yeah, I think it was champ. Yeah.
It was almost like, okay, so this girl obviously was an angel. She was BJ as an angel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, did everybody kind of just sit there talking to this, you know, angel and you know, just see this person that really technically didn't exist, you know, like, you know, not as a specter, not as a ghost, but in the flesh. I mean, it was funny when Maxie's looking for her card and like, I know I had it. Like, you know, and then she does the search online and can't find the name Angela Brighton, and Felicia calls the AP in Amsterdam and, oh, I've been here for, you know, a number of years and there was never anybody working there. And then it kind of dawns on them, holy crap, you know, did everybody just, like, I don't know, that again, God works in mysterious ways, number one, but, you know, and then soap operas as well. I don't know if I've ever seen somebody in the flesh just disappear. But yeah, so
you know, it happened. One of my favorite Christmas movies is Last Christmas, and Henry Golding's character in there is a ghost, but you don't know it the entire time because he develops such an amazing romantic relationship with the female lead. Emily Clarke It's Emilia Clarke. And I was like actually mad that he was a ghost in that movie because it was so believable that he was real. And I was like, what? I'm mad. I don't believe that. I'm going to suspend disbelief. Like, I don't think that's true. But I mean, it was such an amazing, it was kind of the same way with General Hospital, where like you really believe that this was like a real person, because they made you believe it. They wrote it that way to make you believe that this was like a real person walking around among them who was actually a reporter and was who she said. And, but it was a good cover story for the fact that she was an angel. So, I mean, it's a little touched by an angel moment for GH, right. I guess. So it's fine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was great. I mean, you're right. It was suspect at first. Like, why is there an AP, you know, cause it's like, it could have gone in any direction. It could have gone where she was, you know, an undercover for the trafficking, you know, gang, that the people that were doing the trafficking, trying to find the girl that, you know, Carly and Felicia ended up saving, you know, so they could have gone that way. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility of using a character's death for a storyline in that aspect. WWE has done it numerous times. But I like how they did what they did. You know, I like how Felicia and Carly found the girl. And the only reason why the girl felt safe, although I'm sorry, but if you're going up to a cottage from somebody who's a victim of trafficking, the first words out of your mouth should not be, we're here to help you, or we're here to get you, or the way that Carly and Felicia came there and just like scaring a girl half to death who she didn't know, which is why she came out with a shovel.
And rightfully so. Yeah. That was a little like, why are you just saying, oh, hi, we're here. We're your friend. Like, what?
Right.
Like, I mean, if you were in her position, you'd probably be getting disheveled too. Like, it was just bizarre. And I was just like, tell them that you're related to Bobby. That should be one of the first things out of your mouth.
Exactly.
Like, hi, I'm Bobby Spencer's daughter. I'm here to help you to safety or something, you know, like, but that was kind of bizarre, but whatever, they got to that point eventually. It was just, it was a little strange the way like they introduced themselves.
Yeah. It was just like, you know, kind of, I would have expected something like that from Christina, where it was like that impulsive, you know, I'm here, you know, you can come with us and whatever, instead of like you said, you know, you're Cornelia, you know, my mother, Bobby, was helping you. Unfortunately, she passed away and yada, yada, yada. And I like how, you know, the only reason she really, you know, she kind of started to trust them was she saw the necklace. She saw Bobby's necklace that Carly was wearing. And, you know, she kind of asked, why do you have Bobby's necklace? Because again, when you're a victim of something like that, you're kind of, you know, not trusting of anybody because you're so scared that anybody's going to come. For all she knew, these two women could have killed Bobby and took her necklace and, you know,
right. The right. Yeah. She didn't think she could trust them because they could be part of the operation to keep her trafficked. So yeah, that was, yeah, they could have came up with a better way to introduce themselves, but maybe they weren't quite thinking. So that's a good thing Carly was wearing Bobby's necklace, because I think that's the one thing that really turned things around in that situation.
It did. But I mean, overall, it went, you know, it went very well. There wasn't too much outside of that, you know, for the week. There were some other things that that happened. And, you know, we know that, first of all, I do need to apologize. When we talked last week, we forgot to bring up how Sonny beat the crap out of Cyrus in a church, no less. You know, when Cyrus went to Sonny and when Cyrus went to Sonny and, you know, said, do you know the information I have on your wife, and your wife went to the SEC and all this, and Sonny went off and beat him almost half to death to the point where he
he didn't really catch Sonny at the greatest
moment.
Like, that was like a huge trigger for Cyrus to even be in the room.
Yeah.
So Sonny was about to pop off, probably no matter who it was, but because it was Cyrus, he got the beating. And then of course Cyrus is trying to quote the Bible, like, oh yeah, let me turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
You can keep beating me up. I'm like, oh, okay, so so you're willing to get beat up by Sonny to make it look like you're still
right
a good person now.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're willing to go that far too. All right, it was good to know.
And he didn't want to tell the cops who beat him up either. He just, you know, he wanted to turn the other cheek or whatever, you know, and then, you know, because, you know, Dante let him go and said, you know, Cyrus hasn't named anybody, you know, you're not, you know, you're able to go home or whatever. And Dante's the one that broke the news about Bobby to Sonny. I have to say, I was very, very, very happy that Nina was not at the funeral. Like, she would have caused so much chaos.
Yeah.
I was very.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There. Yeah. Me too. It was kind of, I forgot that she wasn't even there. Because it was so nice to have a break from Nina being in the main event of the week. So it was. Sure. It was actually kind of nice because I don't really know. There's not that many Nina fans out there. There's some, but I'm in the majority of like, not, yeah. I'm not. She annoys me so much. She's kind of childish. Her behavior is very childish.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of like an adult toddler a little bit.
Yeah.
Because her behavior is just like, she's just so whiny. Just like, stop. Yeah,
she is.
Stop.
And she's so whiny, but she also doesn't accept, she doesn't take responsibility for action. She blames everybody else for what she does.
She plays the blame game all the time.
Exactly. Or,
you know, if she admits to something, she's like, oh, but it was justified because of XYZ. Because you did this to me, so I did this to you, so it's justified.
Exactly. yeah, and, you know, and it's like there could be some justification to things, you know, as normal. And it's like she did make a good point. Carly and Drew did commit insider trading. However, you know, it's like she did do it out of spite, you know, and she brings up, oh, well, you had... Nell from me until after she died. You hid Willow from me until it was almost too late because she was, you know, dying of cancer and I couldn't help her until afterwards. And it's like, again, you're blaming Carly for what you did. Like, you know, you're throwing it back on her and just causing more and more problems.
It didn't come off as a genuine apology because as she was apologizing, she was also justifying why she did it. That's not a true apology.
No, it's not.
It's not genuine then. Like, you're not apologizing for the right reasons. You're just like doing it to absolve your guilt and to try to get back with Sonny and say, hey, I apologize. Take me back now.
Exactly. All right. So speaking of Sonny and Cyrus and that situation, Sonny calls Dex into his office and has Dex patted down as if, you know, he doesn't trust him or, you know, maybe he thinks he's spying on him or whatever the case was, but he had Frank pat Dex down. And I kind of get it. Normally what, you know, Sonny talks about is nothing that's not incriminating, but the fact is this meeting was Sonny asking Dex to take care of Cyrus and bring him to the Pine Barrens, so to speak. You know, and at first, Dex is a little reluctant. He says, you know, it wouldn't be a good time right now, and all roads point to you. And, you know, and he kind of made a lot of sense, a lot of logical reasons as to why he shouldn't do it right now. But the case is that Sonny wants it. Sonny is, in my opinion, going through one of his manic phases, you know, and he's getting into dark places and he's going to make irrational decisions.
He's probably not taking his meds.
Right.
If I had to guess.
Exactly. Probably not. Hang on 1 second here.
I mean, we saw he almost mixed alcohol with his meds, started drinking, and then he didn't. But
yeah, exactly. But it was, you know, Dex made a few really good suggestions, but then eventually he's like, I'll do it, boss, you know? And Tony told him, he's like, you do this for me, you're in for life. You know, you're, there's no backing down. There's no leaving. You're with me for life.
I just don't think Dex is like a stone cold killer, though. Like, I don't know if he has it in him to do it. We'll find out, but I don't.
Find out, absolutely.
He doesn't strike me as like that stone cold. He's not stone cold Steve. It's not stone cold Steve Austin or stone cold Jason Morgan. Like, he's not right. Exactly the same. Like, I think he's a little bit softer hearted.
Yeah,
you know, more tender hearted. So I don't expect him to just do it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, we see him get to the hospital because he's gonna, you know, go after Cyrus in the hospital or figure out how to do it there. And he calls Joss and says, hey, I just wanted to tell you that I love you, you know? And, you know, it's almost like he feels like he's going to get caught or something's going to happen where, you know, and which is, I don't know. It's almost like they're not doing his character justice, being a former military, former, you know, armed services and armed forces. He could have been, I don't know. Did he say he was a Marine? I can't remember. But, you know, it almost does it as a disservice. Like, yes, he's got a conscience. He's got a heart. But why, if this is the job you're taking, which is a contracted role, you know, why didn't he go to Michael? Michael's the one that's supposed to, you know, he's supposedly working for Michael and Carly now to keep Sonny safe. Why didn't you go to Michael and say, hey, this is, I'm just giving you a heads up. This is what your dad wants me to do.
I don't know. Maybe he will this week. I don't know yet. Maybe he won't. Maybe he will just, I don't know, keep up the facade that he's, you know, Sonny's right-hand man and going to do whatever, but I don't know. I will say I am impressed with the way with Dex, because the chemistry with Temp Joss is not bad.
No,
I will say that it's not bad at all. Like, no, I actually think it's pretty good, like, yeah, for what it is. I mean, it's great. I think it's actually pretty good. So I was actually interested, like, really interested to see long term how that was going to go, because it's been like a month,
about a month. Yep.
That we're having Temp Joss. So, I mean, it's actually pretty good. I was like, huh. And then even Lindsay is Temp Sam. When we had her, I was like, they're going to have her do a love scene for a Temp Sam? Okay. Like, I was pleasantly surprised. So I just put that in there.
For one day as well. So, I mean, there's been a lot of temps on over the past couple of weeks, you know, and you're right. I think the Temp Joss is doing very well. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't even know her name. I should know it. So let me just do a quick search.
Yeah, I just wanted to put that in there because that's really the Dex scenes that I'm like most invested in. It's because, yeah, I do like Dex and Josh quite a bit. So I think seeing them in scenes together, I was like, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Keep it up, the chemistry. I like it. This is not bad. Okay.
Yeah. Her name is Amy. Oh, no. Courtney Folk is the temporary Joss that's playing her right now. So, and she's doing a great job, and I agree. You know, she's got fantastic chemistry. And, you know, it's like, even with the scenes with Adam this week in the RA, like, she captured what Eden McCoy would be doing.
Yeah, it's almost like she watched, I think she probably watched,
she had to,
you know, yeah, McCoy scenes and is just kind of emulating that and giving her best, you know, effort there. And yep, it's showing. It's, I can, it's almost like usually when there's temps, you're like, this isn't really clicking for me, you know? Sometimes yeah, it's like that. This one, no, I'm liking it. So good job. Oh, yeah. Like, keep it up. This is good stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm happy with it. I'm real happy with it.
We saw Scotty and Lucy kind of reminiscing about Bobby, you know, especially in the scenes with Angela. We saw Laura reminiscing a lot about Bobby, her, you know, friendship.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I love the flashbacks for that one. That was great. I was like, wow, I've never seen Bobby like this because I didn't watch back then. So it was nice. Yeah.
And I liked how when Lucy was, you know, giving her information to Angela, Angela goes, so you guys were really the first frenemies or the original frenemies.
I love that. Yeah. You know? I loved it.
Which makes total sense in the grand scheme of things, because that's exactly what they were. You know, they fought over Scotty, but there was a healthy respect. And Lucy actually admitted that she was jealous of Bobby for kind of putting her, as Scotty said, shenanigans and her, you know, her shadiness behind her. And Lucy never has. You know, and I just, I love those scenes where people are kind of reminiscent and like, you know, I really admired her for, you know, admired them for what they did.
Yeah, for sure.
We saw that they already put Bobby's picture up on the wall, you know, right next to Epiphany and right there around Britt and everybody. And Robert and Anna were talking in the hallway and how they pointed out that they lost so many people that helped them with Robin, because Bobby helped with Robin as she was growing up. Epiphany helped Robin as she was at GH and everything. And I just, you know, forgive me for saying this, but I think social media is, I mean, we've said it for a while, but I think social media is just too rough on the actors, the casting, the, you know, because a lot of people were saying, oh, well, why, you know, why wasn't Robert at the funeral? It could have been a scheduling problem. You know, maybe Tristan Rogers just wasn't available for that day, you know, and it's just so sad that people can watch a show and then automatically all they do is point out the flaws. But that's what social media is.
You know, that's, I mean, I could say that's soap fans, but that's, I think soap fans are more than other fans. They're more intense and passionate about little details like that, that maybe other fandoms are just not like.
Oh, you haven't been in wrestling.
You crazy about that? Okay. Wrestling's like that too. So
wrestling Twitter is the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, well, Twitter specifically,
yeah.
X, I don't like to call it X. I'm always going to call it Twitter, okay? I don't care what Elon Musk does with it, whatever.
We'll adopt the Eric Bischoff term and call it Twix.
Twix. So, yeah. So, regardless, I just think there's always this backlash on Twitter of all places. You go to like Facebook or Instagram, people are a lot more chill. So it's different platform. The different platform, different folks. And I've, you know, said this before, but Twitter is one of the most negative, toxic social media platforms out of all of them. Like, you don't really go to Twitter if you want to meet nice people. So
you know, and there are pros and cons of each social media app. You know, when you go to X or Twix, it's more, I don't know, more instantaneous, where you could see things because they refresh so quickly. The Facebook and Instagram algorithm sometimes is a little lax based on who you follow, you know, based on whatever the case is. So yeah, you know, and with Twix being only 280 characters, it's a small blurb of information that you're able to put out there instead of a long diatribe and long post or whatever. But yeah, I mean, the fact that Robert wasn't at the funeral, I really don't care so much about that.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll explain it, you know, at some point, like, oh yeah, I was doing something, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
However, we did have another Robert scene later on in the week. Robert and Diane at the coffee house or the tea house, whatever it's called. And they were, you know, they were having a cup of coffee or what have you. And they, you know, they were talking about the case against Sonny and how Robert says, oh, well, we've finally got your client dead to rights. And, you know, we've got all the evidence points to him and everything. And Diane goes to him like, you know, alleged, you know, it's all alleged until you can actually prove it. And, you know, that's why Sonny pays me the big bucks, because I could, you know, I can prove that he's innocent.
Yeah.
Or not guilty.
Yep.
And Robert says something to the effect of, we're finally going to go ahead and, or he asks, what are you going to do with all your free time once Corinthos goes to jail? And she's like, not spending it with you. So, you know, as you can see, there's that little bit of friction there because of work, because of their jobs, her being a defense attorney for one of the most, you know, wanted, so to speak, guys in Port Charles, and him being the DA, there's bound to be friction.
Yeah.
Not sure if that's something they're going to be able to work through or not, but...
Me, I could care less. Because that's just one of those pairings that I'm like, yeah, thank you, next.
Right.
I don't know. Those are just, it's just one of those pairings I don't care for.
Right.
It's fine. I just hope that he doesn't like break her heart, because like Diane's kind of putting her heart out there and trusting him. So
yeah.
And likes him enough to give him a chance and trust him. So he better not blow it.
No, you're absolutely right.
Otherwise I want her to smack him.
So. Although I think he probably has blown it already.
He has, really. He think he has, but yeah. She gave him another shot. So I don't know, but I think she's reserved the right to smack the hell out of him if he's up again.
Yes, yes. Let's see. We didn't see any of Finn this week. He kind of, you know, stayed off. We didn't see.
Thank you. Thank you, GH. Thank you, GH. I got a break from Finn too.
I don't think we saw anything of Gregory this week. Chase and Brooklyn, we saw, well, Brooklyn and Tracy were talking, you know, yeah. Right, you know, before the funeral, and Brooklyn was like there for her and trying to console her and everything. So, I mean, that was a really touching scene between Brooklyn and her grandmother. I don't think we saw Chase at all this week.
No. It's all right. He'll make up for it later. He'll show up shirtless sometime and it's fine. All right.
We did, however, see a really good scene with as I alluded to earlier, Joss and Adam, and they got the RA where, you know, because Adam was, you know, drunk over the new year and, you know, she was worried for him. So she called the RA and kind of brought them involved. And when Adam found out that they said, okay, well, I got you a counselor and I made a recommendation. We can go there now. And he freaked out because he said, you know, his parents will see that information on his profile or whatever. I've never been an on-campus student, so I don't know how that all works. I know that there are certain things that, you know, parents could see or not see. I guess from what he said is that his parents forced him to give him his login information so they could see on what he sees. So to see that a counselor was assigned to him, they're going to think the worst and think something's wrong and, you know, freak out. But he's...
Something is wrong, though. Like, exactly. I mean, he needs the help, so...
Exactly. He's freaking out himself. So he needs, you know, he does need the help. But
at this point, I don't care what his parents see. I don't care if that's the real excuse, if that's really happening, if they're as intense about his grades and everything that he says they are, because the dude needs help. And I'm glad that Joss is getting him the help.
Yes.
Because it seems like Joss is his only friend. It seems like he's kind of a lone wolf on campus. So,
and, you know, and he's kind of upset with her because he's like, I thought you were my friend. And, you know, and the RA is like, you know, everything is going to be confidential. We're just here to help you. You're not in trouble, you know. And Joss did the right thing. And you're right. I think she is the only person that really cares about him. You know, I don't, and I know that it's not romantic. So for all those Jex fans out there, they're not going to break up Joss and Dex because of Adam, you know, because I think it's going to be more of a friendship. She cares about him. Yeah. She worries about him, but it's not going to be anything more than that. But I have to give it to Joshua Bernard. You know, he's playing, you know, a college student with severe mental issues very well.
Severe. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, it almost makes you feel like he's had problems before. His parents knew that he was at one point taking whatever medication that was, you know, so when they called and asked, are you taking that? And he said, no, I'm not taking those pills anymore, you know, because he lied to them. It almost made me feel like he had some kind of a problem before. I don't know whether it's ADD medication. I don't know whether it's, you know, drugs in general or whatever. But I like the story. I kind of like the story they're telling because it's something that happens all the time in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think there's more behind the scenes than he's letting us know. Because there's just so much focus on, oh, he's so stressed out because of the parents.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that's just a lot just to say it's because of the parents. I think there's some more going on there. And then maybe he's had on and off drug use for quite some time. And that's been his way of dealing with stress.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's been on abusing probably prescription meds for a while. Mm-hmm. Like a long while, probably even before he knew Joss, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
So I just hope he gets the help he needs and it becomes a good storyline, but I don't know. This week's looking pretty rough for him too, so I'm not sure where they're going to take this, how dark it's going to go.
Exactly. That's my thing, is how dark is it going to go. Hey, Nathan, welcome to the chat. How are you today? Thank you for joining us. And again, if you are joining us, go ahead, hit that like button, subscribe, get notified anytime there's something new from Suds in the Square Circle. I do want to announce that this week will be the first episode of Dockside at the Bay, where I'm going to do a rewatch show about the Bay. I have not found a co-host, so I'm going to start it on my own and then find a co-host for it. And I'll start with season one, episode one. It is on Peacock, so I will start that this week. It's not going to be live. It's going to be pre-recorded, but I will keep it posted on here, on this YouTube channel, as well as the Suds in the Squirt Circle podcast feeds. So that is Dockside at the Bay starting this week, and I'm going to be doing that. I'm not sure which day it'll drop, but it will be this week. I'm also looking to get started with the B&B for beginners. That's going to be starting within the next few weeks. The co-host that I had set up is going through some issues right now, but once those are taken care of, we're going to get that started. That's Bold and Beautiful for Beginners starting, I would say, in the next month or so. I am working on a couple other projects that should be starting soon. One of them is going to be a mental health podcast. A friend of mine, who's in college and works with kids like Adam and other kinds of, at-risk teens and youth and people in general, may be coming on, maybe starting a podcast of their own, within the next few weeks. I'm going to have a meeting about that this week, as well as one centered around my gym, have centered around health and wellness. So there is a number of stuff coming down the pipeline. I'm also going to be starting to actually do the Squared Circle news, the wrestling stuff. Again, a lot of this is without co-hosts. So if you think my voice is monotonous, help me find a co-host. But the fact is that I have to get this content started, because if I keep waiting for a co-host and don't find one, it'll never get off the ground. So I'm going to start it myself. That's kind of some of the programming notes. Again, we are officially an affiliate for WWEshop.com. Go to sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestlingmerch. That will bring you to our affiliate link and help us out. We get the commission off of that. So definitely that'll help out the podcast a lot as well. You also buy our actual merch, suds and sudsquarecircle.threadless.com. And then, like I said, if you want to help out another local business in Connecticut, I do believe they ship out as well. This is by Creations by Riss, R-I-S-S, and that is creationsbyriss@gmail.com. So those are kind of the plugs again. And if you're listening on the podcast, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. With that said, let's move on. Curtis. Before we get to Curtis's story, when do you think Adam's parents are going to come into town?
Soon, I hope. At this point, I think they need something. I think they need to up the stakes of the story to make us really emotionally invested in Adam's story.
Yes.
Because they've been stringing this along for a few months now. And if his parents are really the real issue, I would like to see proof of it on screen.
Yes.
To give some validity to what he's saying.
Yeah. Because a lot of people were thinking that, Brennan was Adam's father, the guy from Pikeman, which that storyline was another, like, the hook. If that's the end of the storyline, the end of the Pikeman storyline, it was like a fart in church. I mean, granted, they brought in a new character. But it's like they ended it just so quickly for the entire buildup that we heard, the entire buildup of it, for it to fizzle out like that with only a 2 days of this guy being on. Like, we thought this was going to be a new, brand new enemy for Sonny, to come in and combat him. That just boggles my mind how that just fizzled so quickly. Before I forget, one other thing is, for those of you that did join us this past Friday on Take Two Radio Soaps in Review, we had a great chat with John Lindstrom, who plays Kevin Collins and Ryan Chamberlain on General Hospital. That is up at Blog Talk Radio in the archives. Go ahead and check it out. It was a really great conversation. And I absolutely love when celebrities or actors are very personable, and they answer questions in a friendly way, and just they're approachable. I did get to ask him a couple of questions as well as the rest of the co-hosts. Go over there and check that out at blogtalkradio.com. That's Take Two Radio Soaps in Review. All right. Now moving on to Curtis and Portia. Curtis did get that treatment, that experimental surgery. And it just, I don't know, some of those scenes with him and Portia, I'm just not feeling. And I know Curtis isn't one of your favorite characters, so I already know that. But I like the character of Curtis, but when he had a scene with Portia this week and, they've come this far, he's in the hospital bed and they're talking about he's going to be having the surgery. So he's already there. And then she's like, well, he's having second thoughts and she's having second thoughts. And, she's like, and then all of a sudden the doctor comes in, we're ready to go. He's like, well, doc, And Portia's like, yeah, he's ready. Let's go. It's just, I don't know. I just wasn't feeling it.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like they weren't really quite on the same page with this whole surgery thing. And I just want something more from this. There's no lack of appeal for me to the storyline because they're not moving it forward enough for me to care, which right. I think is the problem. It's like, it's just kind of a snooze fest. I'm not the only one who thinks this, by the way. I was looking up recaps. You know, I look up recaps. And there's other, you know, soap bloggers out there, too, that are like, this is kind of a snooze. It's just a storyline. It's just kind of not. Because it's just, it's not progressing. No. Like, it's the pacing of it all. It's just not, you're not really making us want to, like, care because most of the time you have him moping around in a wheelchair. So, like, we got to do something where he feels motivated to get mobile again and get out of the wheelchair.
Right.
So, we know it'll happen eventually, but I think GH has just taken too long to get there. Yeah. So I'm hoping the surgery is kind of a catalyst for it finally moving forward, but I don't really know. So I hope so. And I hope the surgery is, you know, helps things forward. And then he gets to a place where he's in physical therapy again, and we see him, you know, moving and walking again. I don't know. It's
although Trina did tell him about Paris and how Spencer right. wants to go with her. And he kind of told her, he's like, you know, why don't you just take it for you? You know, take the experience for you alone. Why, you know, Spencer doesn't necessarily have to be there with you. You know, this is something that you should be doing, you know, you're a young adult. You know, why would, but she also told Stella and, you know, and She's like, I know I'm probably not going to take it. It's not the right time for me to take it or whatever. And so I was like, who said that? Go, you know, and take the opportunity and go. You know, so, I mean, they're supporting her for going. And I'm sure that the Sabrina Nation aren't going to be too happy that, you know, she's going to be off screen for a while. And I assume that's what it's going to be.
Fairly. I mean, they could do some fake Paris set. Something.
Oh yeah, of course.
Like I think they could fake some stuff because I don't think she necessarily needs to be off screen if Spencer's off screen because Nicholas Chavez is doing that show or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think that necessarily needs to be the case, but I want to see her like thriving in Paris and doing her thing there for sure. So I'm glad that her family is encouraging her to do it, but I think they are right on some level because. Like, she doesn't need to bring Spencer with her.
Right.
But I think there is, because they're so young.
Yeah.
And because they have this, like, thing where, oh, we haven't really spent a whole lot of time together because he's always taking care of Esme's baby, his brother. So yeah. I think because of that being such a hiccup in their relationship, mm-hmm. I think they feel like they have to.
Agreed.
Be together in Paris, like there's this sense of urgency, like, oh, well, we need to make sure we keep the relationship going even while I'm in Paris. So I get it, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, okay, well, if she goes alone, if maybe he visits her there a couple of times, that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't think he needs to be with her there the entire time living with her in Paris. I think she needs to kind of spread her wings and fly and do her thing on her own.
And it's going to be difficult anyways now for a couple of reasons. One is Laura kind of told Esme, you know, Laura figured out that Esme broke into Windermere and she's like, you have to go turn yourself in. You know, you got to take it. You got to take responsibility. And so she does go, you know, turn herself in. And so who knows if she's going to end up going to prison or jail or whatever, because Ava's like, no, throw the book at her. I'm not going to drop the charges. I'm going to have her, you know, charged. And then talking to Spencer on Friday, you know, he picks up on a few telltale signs that she remembered everything.
She cracked. She cracked.
Yep. And he's like, she remembers. So
I'm glad he picked up on it. Thank God.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to be kind of pissed if he didn't find that sus.
So he maybe had Ace full time, you know, come whenever Esme gets sentenced, if that's the case. And the other thing, Nicholas came back on Friday and, you know, was at the door when Spencer opened the door, and Nicholas was there. I did not watch today's episode yet, so I don't know what came of it.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know either.
We'll talk about that next week, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, so things are kind of picking up. I'm glad that Nicholas went to see Spencer. I am very glad about that, you know, because no matter what happens, like, I think, honestly, I think GH kind of screwed up the dynamic between Spencer and Nicholas back when Nicholas faked his own death. And, you know, Spencer was sent to boarding school and not have any contact and everything. So the emotions that Nicholas Alexander Chavez showed when, you know, talking to Marcus Coloma and saying, you made me think you were dead. Like, we were so close. How could you lie to me? You made me, you know, that emotion was fantastic back then when that happened. And I think that that's where they ruined the character. Like, Tyler Christopher left, and I get that, you know, he was, you know, he faked his death, whatever the case is. But if you remember when, you know, Tyler Christopher was Nicholas and Nicholas Bechtel was Spencer, like, Spencer was his whole world. He would have never, ever lied to him like that. So I feel like that dynamic was ruined almost by the writers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Hasn't really been the same between Nicholas and Spencer since he was a kid,
right? So, and I get it, kid. Previous, you know, Spencer, it. You know, so, kids grow up, you know, teenagers are rebellious, and you know, you end up not having that same relationship over time. I get that happens, but when you when you have two people as, you know, a relationship as close as that was, like, there was somewhere where it just went off the rails.
I think it's pretty clear there's like abandonment issues on Spencer's side, and because they were so close growing up and then that changed. And I don't think that's just because Spencer became a rebellious teenager. I think that's sure, that's part of it, but I feel like Nicholas dropped the ball on being a father so many times that it's like, is the relationship repairable? Can we come back from this at this point? And at this time, I mean, I would obviously say put him in some family therapy, but I don't think that's going to happen. GH too much. They're not going to do that. So, I mean, maybe Laura could kind of be like a good mediator for their relationship, because it obviously needs some work. I think even Laura knows that Nicholas has been a piece of shit at times. So I don't know how you could fix that, but if there's any kind of like amends that can be done, especially I think on Nicholas's part, like, he needs to make some kind of amends to Spencer and be like, look, I messed up.
Yep. Like, I agree.
I was not the best father to you in the last few years, and we've had a terrible relationship, because even when I was around, the last time I was here, I slept with your girlfriend, and now she's pregnant. And now she's got my baby. Like, that's a huge issue with them. And at times, well, especially in the last year, it's felt more like Nicholas hasn't been there. It feels like Spencer stepped up to be the father figure in Ace's life, which caused that huge rift with him and Trina. So yeah, there's a whole Pandora's box of issues with Nicholas and Spencer that I would like to see them on the road to, like, some kind of at least being civil towards each other, and at least being able to be in the same room and, you know, like, talk some things out. And if Nicholas decides he still wants to be a piece of shit, so be it. But, and, you know, some things need to be discussed. I think Laura would be a great little like kind of like a family therapist, I guess. That's my only suggestion. I think that's as close to family therapy as we'll get, is if we can get Laura, Nicholas, and Spencer in the same room having a conversation about how things went down.
I completely agree with you. All right. And I think that's pretty much it. We've kind of gone over everything that happened this past weekend. Like I said, the majority of it was dominated by Bobby's funeral and, you know, saying goodbye to Bobby. So next week, obviously, will be a little bit more going on. Again, thank you all for watching and listening. Before we get to our thankful minute, you know, again, we are now an affiliate for WWEshop.com. So go ahead and go to sudsandsquirtcircle.com/wrestlingmerch. Buy all your cool WWE merch from that link, because that's our affiliate link. We do get commission for it, so with full transparency, but it'll help the show as well. And I am wearing an awesome Cody Rhodes t-shirt. Also, go ahead and you know, listen to all of our friends' podcasts, whether it's Pier 54, The 10th Floor, anything from James Law Jr. Of course, Take Two Radio, which I'm on every other Monday. Next Monday at 7 p.m. will be Take Two Radio Soaps and Review again at 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. But yeah, definitely listen to all the podcasts out there, because we're not in competition. We are all friends. We just want to help each other out and be complimentary. And then again, later on this week, will be the debut episode of Dockside at the Bay. That'll be focused on the Bay, which is now on Peacock. Stars a web series, and it grew. And it does star a lot of soap stars. Tristan Rogers, Robert Scorpio is in it. You know, in season 3, Chad Duhl is in it, who plays Michael, obviously, on General Hospital. Carolyn Hennessy makes a cameo for a couple episodes. So Mary Beth Evans, who plays Kayla on Days of Our Lives, is the main character in the movie, in the show. So that's on seasons 1 through 6 are on Peacock right now. And I think they're dropping season 7 pretty soon. So with that being said, let's get to our thankful minute. Let me get the timer out. Okay. And Christy, ladies first, I will set the timer for 1 minute.
All right. Well, just as you mentioned, all those wonderful podcasts, I just want to thank them for supporting us and being supportive of us on X, because a lot of times, you know, the bad feedback sticks out sometimes. So I'm grateful for them for supporting us, and we support them back, and I'm definitely grateful for that. It was a rough week for me, but I'm grateful that I made it through and the Mucinex started working. So thank you, Mucinex. We're not sponsored, but thank you, Mucinex. And I'm thankful I can work from home. And I'm thankful for you know, friends and family who've checked in on me. And I appreciate that as well. So I think that's it for my minute.
Yep, you're right. All right, so I'll go ahead and do my thankful minute as well. And before I even say that, I know my dog is thankful that we're going to be ending soon, because his, I think his bodily functions might need to be extricated. All right. So for my thankful minute, what I'm thankful for this week, thankful that I actually got back into church, actually looking towards 2024 as a complete reformation of my mind, body, soul, and spirit. And with working out, I've been working out, you know, 6 workouts a week, 5 days a week, over the past 2 weeks. I'm hoping I can keep that up and keep the motivation going. And, you know, I just, I'm very thankful for being able to make the contact to become a WWE affiliate, for WWE Shop. My next step is to get the media credentials for WrestleMania. And I'm happy that I'm growing this network. You know, it's gonna have growing pains. You know, we're not as big as other podcasts, but we're gonna get there. And I want to thank you all for watching and listening, because that's where we grow, is from word of mouth and from viewers and listeners. So that's my thankful minute as well. But you know, Christy, I want to thank you again for joining me. Where could everybody follow you on Twix and Facebook and Instagram?
Good old Twix. Okay, so yes, I do periodically check my at Lee's on radio Twix. It's back on my phone for a while. I take a break. Sometimes you just got to take social media breaks from Twix. It's a little too intense.
Mm-hmm.
And then at CreativeFan15 as well. And then I'm not really on Facebook a whole lot, to tell you the truth, really not. But Instagram, I'm not as active on there, but I do have a page on there. So it's instagram.com/Lee's on radio, I believe. So you can follow me if you wish on there. And I'm always happy to talk soaps. You know, that is, Twix is like the best place for that. If I need some quick information or some, I just want some quick commentary, it's the best place for that, but it's not always the most positive place.
Right. And for me, find me at Vinny Suds on Twix, as well as Suds SQ Circle Pod on Twix as well. And on Facebook, I am also Vinny Suds. On Instagram, it is just for the website, or for the podcast. Same thing with TikTok and everything. All those links are found on our website, sudsandsquarecircle.com. So go find it. I have been doing more YouTube shorts, so you should see those pop up if you're subscribed and notified. And again, go ahead, subscribe, get notified. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That definitely helps with, and Spotify as well. That definitely helps the algorithm. And go ahead and shop our WWE Shop affiliate link, sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestlingmerch. And then you can also go to our website, our shopping, sudssquarecircle.threadless.com. All right. So for Christy, I'm Vinny, and we will see you next week right here on Suds News, Suds and the Square Circle. Have a great day, everybody. All right. So the live stream is stopped, and I will stop recording.